translation by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. After separating the different universes, the gigantic universal form of the Lord Mahavishnu, which came out of the causal ocean, the place of appearance for the first Purusha avatar, entered into each of the separate universes, desiring to lie on the created transcendental water, Garbhodaka. A little bit long purport, just bear with me, please. After analysis of the living entities and the Supreme Lord, Paramatma, the independent source of all living beings, Srila Sukadeva Goswami is now presenting the prime necessity for devotional service to the Lord, which is the only occupational business of all living entities. The Supreme Lord Sri Krishna and all his plenary portions and extensions of plenary portions are non-different from one another, and thus the supreme independence is in each and every one of them. In order to prove this, Sukadeva Goswami, as promised to King Parikshit, describes herein the independence of the Purusha avatar, personality of Godhead, even in the sphere of the material creation. Such activities of the Lord are also transcendental, and therefore they are also Leela, or pastimes of the Absolute Lord. Such pastimes of the Lord are very conducive to the hearers for self-realization in the field of devotional service. Some may argue, why not then relish the transcendental Leela of the Lord as exhibited in the land of Mathura and Vrindavan, which is sweeter than anything in the world? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur replies that the pastimes of the Lord in Vrindavan are meant to be relished by advanced devotees of the Lord. Neophyte devotees will misunderstand such supreme transcendental activities of the Lord, and therefore the Lord's pastimes in the material sphere related to creation, maintenance, and destruction are verily relishable by the Prakriti or the mundane devotees of the Lord. As the yoga system mainly based on bodily exercise is meant for the person who is too much attached to the bodily conception of existence, similarly, the Lord's pastimes related to the creation and destruction of the material world are for those who are too materially attached. For such mundane creatures, the functions of the body and the functions of the cosmic world through physical laws in relationship with the Lord are also therefore included in understanding of the lawmaker. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the scientists explain the material functions by so many technological terms of material law, but such blind scientists forget the lawmaker. The Srimad Bhagavatam points out the lawmaker. One should not be amazed by the mechanical arrangement of complicated engine or dynamo, but one should praise the engineer who creates such a wonderful working machine. That is the difference between the devotee and non-devotee. Devotees are always full with praising the Lord who directs the physical laws. In Bhagavad Gita 9.10, the direction of the Lord upon the material nature is described as follows. Maya dakshena prakriti suyate saracharam ituneina kunteya jagat vipar vartite. The material nature full of physical laws is one of my different energies. Therefore it is neither independent nor blind, because I am transcendentally all-powerful. Simply by my glancing over material nature, the physical laws of nature work so wonderfully. The actions and reactions of the physical law work on that account, and thus the material world is created, maintained, and annihilated again and again. Men with poor fund of knowledge, however, become astonished by studying the physical laws both within the construction of the individual body and within the cosmic manifestation, and foolishly they decry the existence of God, taking for granted that the physical laws are independent, without any metaphysical control. The Bhagavad Gita 9.11 replies to this foolishness in the following words. Abhijanantima muta manusam tanam ashritam parambhavam ajyananto mama buddha maheshwaram. The foolish men, mutaha, do not know the personality of Godhead in his eternal form of bliss and knowledge. The foolish man thinks of the transcendental body of the Lord as something like his own, and therefore he cannot think of the unlimited controlling power of the Lord, who is not visible in the acting of physical laws. The Lord is, however, visible to the naked eyes of people in general when he descends himself by his own personal potencies. Lord Krishna incarnated himself as he is and played very wonderfully wonderful parts as the Lord himself. And the Bhagavad Gita concerns such wonderful actions and knowledge. Yet foolish men will not accept Lord Krishna as the Supreme Lord. Generally, they consider the infinitesimal and the infinite features of the Lord because they themselves are unable to become either the infinitesimal or the infinite. But one should know that the infinite and infinitesimal sizes of the Lord are not his highest glories. The most wonderful manifestation of the Lord's power is exhibited when the infinite Lord becomes visible to our eyes as one of us. Yet his activities are different from those of the finite beings. Lifting a mountain at the age of 7 years and marrying 16,000 wives in the prime of his youth are some of the examples of his infinite energy. But the Muddhas, after seeing them or hearing about them, decry them as legendary and take the Lord as one of them. They cannot understand that the Lord, Sri Krishna, although in the form of a human being, by his own potency, is still the Supreme Lord, with full potency as the Supreme Controller. When, however, the Muddhas give submissive and oral reception to the messages of the Lord, as the Srimad Bhagavatam, or in Srimad Bhagavatam through the channel of disciplic succession, such Muddhas also become devotees of the Lord by the grace of his pure devotees. And for this reason only, either in Bhagavad Gita or in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the pastimes of the Lord in the material world are delineated for the benefit of those men with poor fund of knowledge. You're still alive and awake. It's a long one. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksurin Militanjena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamayam Darati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru and Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Dev Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpati Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Takta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavanish Vishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha Kalpatar Vischa Kipasandhu Bevicha Patita Nam Pavnibhyo Vaishnabhyo Namo Namo Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasari Gaura Bhakti Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So I'd like to seek the blessings of all the devotees here today, especially senior devotees. Also, Govinda Master gave me personal blessings yesterday. Wait, if I don't, if the class is not up to standard, then you know who to go to. Hare Krishna. So, I'd like to, like all of us, transport ourselves to the causal ocean. Just observe what's going on. Just a little bit to get an understanding about the creation. It's such a beautiful kind of translation here, Prabhupada gives. And it's such a long purport. We should understand, you know, what it's all about. So just going to this place, I'm not so learned about all the intricacies of, you know, but I'm just talking about the three Purusha avatars whereby Mahavishnu is lying on the causal ocean. Just meditate on this thing. He's lying on this causal ocean. The picture is at the back there. From the pores of his skin is coming out millions and trillions of universes, just coming out of the body and going in, coming out of his body and going. So, and Prabhupada nicely says, the translator says, he came out, which he just came out of the causal ocean, just come out. And then within each of these universes, Garbhodaksha Vishnu enters. So Mahavishnu, he just comes out, enters into each one of this universes where Lord Brahma takes his birth from the lotus stem of each one of these universes. So you can picture this scene here. There's millions of these universes where Garbhodaksha Vishnu enters. And then he enters into every living entity as Paramatma, Shurdaksha Vishnu. So we got that. So this is described, all the, you know, full description as being given from all the chapters we've been reading. Now Prabhupada is explaining in this the sequence of reading Srimad Bhagavatam, basically, because you have all this knowledge here about the creation, but who is it for? And what is it there for? And why this knowledge is there? So, Prabhupada is explaining in the purport that the prime necessity for devotional service in this material world is for the living entities. Special mercy for us all to be able to, you know, read these books, understand them, and prepare ourselves to go back home, back to Godhead. Every living entity, plant life, animal life, there's a sequence of ecology going on here. I was listening to Prabhupada's class yesterday. He said, this Darwin theory, I don't know how they're teaching this Darwin's theory in school, but they're coming from monkeys. And Darwin says, we evolved from the monkeys, right? And Prabhupada says, this is monkey philosophy. It's coming from the monkeys. So we can see, like, this Bhagavatam is explaining how important it is to read Bhagavatam with sequence. And so any pastime of the Lord, whether it's the creation, maintenance or destruction, any creation of the Lord where the Lord is present is completely transcendental. He is not actually subjected to the three modes of material nature, neither is he subjected to any activities going on in this material world. So we have to understand that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and any pastime that he performs in the spiritual world or in this material world is not affected by it. He's independent to act the way he is. But the devotees, they relish both the creation and the intimate pastimes, the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, like in Vrindavan or Mathura. They take it to their heart. So, but for a devotee, of course, when you talk about the creation of the world, they would listen with rapt attention. But they find the pastimes of the Lord sweeter, you know, in Vrindavan, Mathura, the gopis, Mother Yashoda, things like that. They always find it, you know, more relishable. But it's explained here that Krishna's pastimes, when it's explained to the mundaners, if they don't know about the creation, there's a term called, you know, they use like, God is great. It's like a proverb. They say God is great. But how great God is, they don't know. So Prabhupada explains that the ones that say God is great, the mundane persons, they should understand the creation of the world first before they understand the intimate pastimes of the Lord. So some argue that if the intimate pastimes of the Lord is so relishable, then why not go to the 10th canto and relish the pastimes there? But according to the acharyas and the learned saints like Vishwanath Chakravarti, explains that these relishable, intimate, conjugal pastimes of the Lord are especially meant for elevated personalities, not for ordinary people. So this creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the material world and the lawmaker and who's behind it, who created it, these are all giving us like purification, preparing us actually to, you know, to be able to relish the 10th canto. From the feet, then you go up to the head. The face is the face of Krishna is actually the 10th canto. So the scientists, they baffled by this mechanical engineering of the Lord. So it's explained here that the sciences explain the material function by so many technological terms of material law. But such blind scientists forget the lawmaker. Like, if you take a beautiful painting, you're describing the painting, it's such a beautiful painting, but no one worried, no one's concerned about who's the creator, who's behind this, you know. Or you might go on a holiday, you might go, you know, to a beautiful place, you're admiring everything, the ocean, the scenery, the trees, the bird, and, you know, appreciating all this, but not finding out who's the creator, you know, behind all this. So it's a very poor fund of knowledge. One should not be amazed by the mechanical arrangement of the complicated engine or dynamo, but one should praise the engineer who creates such wonderful working machine. So only devotees are able to relish the creation of the Lord. The universal form is meant to remind us about this. When we see the grass, we think of hairs on Krishna's body. When we see stones, we think of his nails. When we see the sun, we think of his eyes. When we see the moon, we think of his other eye. So for a devotee, everything that he sees around him reminds him of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we say that whatever happens in our life, it can be the smallest thing. We don't see it as chance. We see Krishna's hand in every little thing that happens in our life. So in this way, we're always reminded of Krishna 24 hours a day. I started to like kind of remember Krishna's names. And I keep on although we chant so much, but I say Krishna's name, I repeat his name all the time. And Srila Prabhupada says that if you practice something all the time, it becomes, if you practice all the time, it becomes a habit. And yeah, it becomes a habit. And from becoming a habit, it becomes second nature. So you do it automatically. Like if you come into Mangalarti for years and years and years and you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you said, eventually that lifestyle is so regulated that you don't need your clock anymore. Automatically you rise at that time. But if it goes up and down, then you don't, you know, one day you might wake up 4, another day 3, or, you know, 9. Or some people wake up at 12 o'clock midday for lunch. So it's, you know, whatever one desires for, whatever one strives for, one achieves that. But you have to have your heart put into whatever. Everything is an endeavor. Everything is a struggle. But if we persevere, we will get to the goal. I like Vrindavan Chandra's class. He said, you need faith and conviction. But determination is there. You have to have determination to keep moving, irrespective of what they say, hail or high waters. Life is a struggle, up and down, 7:14, Daivi Isha Gunamai, Mama Maya Durachaya. This material divine, Krishna is calling his energy divine. So he says this divine energy of mine is very difficult to overcome. But thinking of me, you can cross beyond it. So if we constantly think of Krishna, we can, you know, easily cross. It's like a calf's hoof print. Calf's hoof print filled with water is very easy to cross over. But a mountain is very difficult. So that is the difference between a devotee and non-devotee. Devotees are always full with praising the Lord, constantly. When we're chanting shlokas, when we're chanting prayers, it's all glorification of the Lord. So by glorifying the Lord, we become purified, we become closer. And as Prabhupada was saying, when we become so pure, we can see the Lord face to face. There's no rush, but patience is virtue, they say. So now we're going to, in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada is talking about 9:10, the direction of the Lord upon the material nature is described as follows. The material nature is full of physical laws in one of Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyate Characharam Itu Nainaina Kuntiya Jagat Vipari Vivatite. The material nature of physical laws is one of my different energies. So we can see now everything is coming from Krishna, whether it's material or spiritual. The material energy is back and the spiritual energy is front. So there's no question whether one is a demon or a devotee, everyone comes from Krishna's body. Nothing is separate from Krishna. We living entities in the material world, we are here because we kind of acted independent. And we separated ourselves from Krishna. But that Krishna is still so kind and merciful. He's provided us everything in this material world to try and go back home, back to Godhead. So he's come personally with us as well as Paramatma. So he is very kind. He's super kind. Even though we turned our backs on him, he's still trying his best to win us, win our hearts. Someone mentioned, a lady gave class the other day, and she mentioned how if we love Krishna so much, we can imprison him within our hearts. Just put like a iron fence or whatever. Was it Bhomasura, Vrikasura who had this electric fence around? And, you know, he captured the 16,000 gopis. He had a very high electric fence. Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. So he had this very high electric fence. And so no one could get in. He captured 16,000. But he didn't realize that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is, you know, he can do anything he likes. So that's how he captured the 16,000 wives. And they said to him, you know, in Vedic times, when a man sees a woman and that close proximity, He has to marry. No other man will marry them. So they said to Krishna, I'm sorry. I know you saved us. We're very appreciative of this. You're very kind to do this. But now, because you came in so close proximity to us, no other man is going to marry us. What are we going to do? You'll have to marry us. So he's very kind to his devotees. He married the 16,000, wives. So in this way, if we sincerely pray to Krishna for devotional service, or anything in our lives, actually, material or spiritual, but devotees, they have no interest for material things. But one question I wanted to ask, I was reading something, and was it yesterday? Srimad Bhagavatam, I read about a devotee, whether he's rich, whether he got lots of money, or he's very poor, is satisfied. So why does a devotee, if he's like completely satisfied and he's rich, why does he have to renounce? I wanted to ask the question. Anyone has any ideas? Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, but we know a lot of saints, the six Goswamis, so many. I'm going to talk a little bit about Gangamata Goswamini. She renounced everything. Six Goswamis slept under trees. They were very rich. And who else, Govinda? There's so many that renounce their life, giving completely surrendered to Krishna. Distraction? Anyone else? Yes, Prabhu? Okay. All right, yeah, thank you for that. So, yeah, it's very difficult. So, as devotees, yes, we, whether we're rich, whether we're poor, we're always thinking of Krishna. So Prabhupada explains here, men with poor fund of knowledge again, however, become astonished by studying physical laws both within the construction of the individual body and within the cosmic manifestation. They foolishly decry the existence of God, taking it for granted that physical law are independent without any metaphysical control. So basically, they are so like kind of puffed up. They want to be the founder or the explorant of anything that's created in the material world. They would do big researches and have their name on the top. I discovered this, or you discovered this. Names of very prominent people are there without giving any credit to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in Bhagavad Gita again, in 9.11, it describes the foolishness about this people. Avajajanti mamuta manusum tanam ashritam parambhavam ajnantu mamabhuta maishvaram. The foolish men, muda, do not know the personality of God in his eternal form of bliss and knowledge. They think that the transcendental body of the Lord is something like his own. So when Krishna comes in his two-armed form, the Mayavadis, the impersonalists, and mundane scholars, mundane devotees, materialists, they think Krishna is an ordinary person. And when they hear about the pastimes of Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill, having 16,000 wives, killing demons, all these pastimes, when they hear, they think it's, as it's explained here, legendary or mythology. Like I said this before, we gave a Krishna book to my brother-in-law, my husband's brother, and I don't know, for some reading, he opened the Krishna book. The first thing he did was read the story of Putana. And then we went to visit, And he told us, you know what, I read your book, I read the Krishna book. Then we said, oh, that's very nice. So we said, what did you read? So he said he read about this witch, Putana. And he said, how could you believe that someone can be 8 miles long? He was like completely bewildered, out of his head. He said, you guys must be in cuckoo land. And I thought, you poor thing, you know, what else can I say? Because they don't understand. They don't really understand what's going on. So we have a duty. We really do have a duty. And if we, you know, we believe and we have faith, we need to give this message out. Like Govinda, he got this jumper. Look at it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Rama. Hare Hare. There's no other way. No other way, no other way. 3 times. So we have to take it upon our heads and really completely give it our utmost to give this name to everyone out there. That's the only way we can do it. Lord Chaitanya, this is his prediction. Take this to every town and village and make, you know, help people become Krishna conscious. They just hear the name once and they see devotees. It sticks in their mind. The other day, I was just standing in my house by the fence, and 3 doors away, there's a Polish family, mother and daughter. They were walking past. The lady is 92, Polish, and the daughter is 60. So I said, hello. I just said, hello. And they walked towards me. The lady, 92, she's very kind of favorable, but the daughter is a Jehovah's Witness. So anyway, she was talking to me. She came, talked to me, and the mother's 92. She's, you know, she loves listening. Because I wanted to, 5 years ago, I wanted to introduce her to Mother Kulangana, because, you know, age group. But it never happened. And she said to me, the mother said to me, I always want to visit the temple, she told me. I said to the daughter, she's 60, I said, look, you have something to fulfill here. Your mother is 92. You have to take her to the temple. Then she said, no, but I can't do that. We are Jehovah's Witness. I said, it doesn't matter. Hare Krishna is a non-sectarian movement. It's to do with the soul, you know, talking about the difference between the soul and the body. Christians do that. The Muslims, all other denominations of religious orders, they preach that, you know, about the soul. So anyway, we're talking, and I gave her a gift, and I gave her Mama Back to God at magazine. She read one of our books, but she didn't know where she placed it. So I gave her another book, and I said, you know, someday I'll take you to the temple. She said, what is that 92-year-old woman? She said, what is that you're wearing in the neck? I said, no, before that, the daughter said to me, have you got Tulsi? I said, she's 60, she's a Jehovah's Witness. How does she know about Tulsi? And I said, what, Tulsi? She said, yeah, Tulsi, have you got any, is there Tulsi in the temple? I said, yeah, there's 2 greenhouses of Tulsi. And she said, I said, how do you know about Tulsi Devi? And then she said, I'm a herbal fanatic. I said, herbal fanatic, okay, I'll take you one day to the temple, you can see. And her mother said, please, can you get me some neck beads, please? I said, okay, I'll get you neck beads. And, you know, it went on like that. So devotees are so eager when you speak to them. I'm not devotee like the materialists out there. They're eager. Once you talk to them, they want to carry on listening. So we should give them, you know, something. Okay, I'm going on for too long. Yeah. So, but I'll just read the end, the last paragraph. There's only 2 paragraphs in this old 2 pages. Prabhupada's just writing straight down, no paragraph. But just 1 paragraph at the end. When, however, The mudras give submissive and oral reception to the messages of the Lord, as in Srimad Bhagavad Gita or in the Srimad Bhagavatam through the channel of disciplic succession. Such mudras also become devotees of the Lord by grace of his pure devotees. It's like Jagai and Madai, so many, you know, demons became devotees when Krishna touched their hearts. And for this reason only, either in Bhagavad Gita or in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the pastimes of the Lord in the material world are delineated for the benefit of those men with a poor fund of knowledge. So we have like 5 minutes. I'll quickly say something about Baladev Vidyabhushana and Ganga Matsa. So Baladev Vidyabhushana descended from Orissa and in a little town called Ramona. From a young age, he was very interested in studying. So he studied various work. Where is that? In his youth, he mastered the art of Sanskrit, grammar, poetry, and logic. He was a Digvijaya, just like Lord Chaitanya, you know, defeating the opponents. He was a Digvijaya Pandit, conqueror of the opponents. When he was in Jagannath Puri, he learned about Lord Chaitanya. Even though he was initiated by the Tattvavadi school, he got reinitiated. So reinitiation is taking place from that time. It's not a new thing. Don't ask me any questions. But they say third time is lucky. So I'm that person. Third time lucky, I'm still plodding on. Krishna's mercy. So he took reinitiation from the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. And he was studying under Vishwanath Chakravarti. He learnt about the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya, and he converted himself to Gaudiya Vaishnavism, studied the Srimad Bhagavatam, and in 1706, he was sent to defeat the Ramanandis. Ramanandis were Sri Vaishnava, from the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, and they didn't recognize the Gaudiya Vaishnavism as being bona fide. They rejected it, and they like Sri Sampradaya or in reverence Vaikuntha, things like that, and they didn't accept the worship of Radha and Krishna on the altar. He was sent there by his spiritual master to go and defeat the Ramanandis. And the then king there was he was called Mukundadev. And Mukundadev, although he was a king, he had to be neutral. But he had Krishna within his heart, because when he was 7 years old, he visited Vrindavan, the king of Orissa. And Krishna remained in his heart, but at the same time, he had to go with the people, you know, the locals there. So they accepted Baladev Vidyabhushana as a debater of the Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And because he studied so much by Vishwanath Chakravarti, he became expert in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Vedic literatures. He became expert, and then he went to, he got into a debate with the Ramanandis. And Mukundadev, the king, he was like the observer of this debate. But before he went on the debate, he got a vision, a meditation. The Supreme Lord himself came to him in this meditation, giving him the commentary on the Vedas, Vedic literatures, gave him a commentary for defeating the Ramanandis. So Govindaji himself imparted the knowledge of the Vedas to Govinda Baladev Vidyabhushana. So he went there, he defeated them. He defeated the Ramanandis. Srila Prabhupada actually dedicated Bhagavad Gita to Baladev Vidyabhushana. So he defeated. So Gaudiya Vaishnavas were, it was like registered as a bona fide sampradaya. Not, they said, oh, this is a fifth sampradaya. There's only four sampradayas. Gaudiya Vaishnavas is a fifth one. Why didn't Lord Chaitanya write any books or any commentaries? And he said that why Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they will, you know, they have to accept that he's giving direct teachings from Srimad Bhagavatam, from the Vedic literatures. He's not doing anything separate. So why is there a need for a separate Veda? It's not separate. Therefore, it's called Gaudiya Madhava Sampradaya. So this was Baladev Vidyabhushana. Although the Supreme Lord, he ordains everything, still we say that without Baladev Vidyabhushana, I'm not sure whether we'll be sitting here today, because he actually reinstated Gaudiya Vaishnavism in India. So I say a little something about Govinda, Ganga Mata. Ganga Mata was a woman guru in Gaudiya Vaishnavas. It's another controversial topic. That's coming from a long time too, 1600s. These are 1600s, 1700s, so nothing has changed, has it? So she was a daughter of a royal order in Bengal. Her father was a king. He was called Narissa Narayan. She was named Sachi Devi. Very beautiful girl, extremely beautiful. She had so many suitors, but she didn't want to get married. She refused. Eventually, her parents, the king and queen, they were getting old. They were tired. They wanted to, you know, settle their daughter, beautiful daughter, you know. All mothers, that's their desire, to give the daughters off. When they die, they're peaceful. Someone's looking after my daughter. So it's strange that Prabhupada says all women should get married, and men should be brahmacharis. That's strange. Anyway, that's the desire for mother. A mother wants the daughter. She doesn't care about the son so much. He finds his way. But for daughters, you know, daughters are vulnerable and they want to see their daughters settle. So they tried and tried. They couldn't. Eventually, they left their bodies and she became the queen of Bengal. But her constant meditation was serving Krishna. She loved Krishna with her heart and soul. She loved him so much, she could not think of anything else. So she decided to not renounce the kingdom, but go on a pilgrimage, you know, to different places. So she did go on a pilgrimage, and then she decided, she went to Jagannath Puri, then Vrindavan. And I'll just give you a story about how she became a Goswamini. It's funny, there's two stories about Baladev Vidyabhushana, and her story here happened around the same time. She was in Bangladesh and he was in Puri. And she went to Puri, and then she was bathing. One time she was bathing in the Ganges, and she got transferred to the temple of Jagannath Puri. She was, the temple outside was flooded, and she was such a pure, elevated soul. She was standing in front of Jagannath deities. This is in Veda base, if you're looking at me, where's she getting all this from? That's how devotees are, they stare at you. How come you're speaking like this? Where's it from? So it's on Veda base. about Goswami. Anyway, she was bathing and she got transferred to the temple. She was looking at the deities, you know, absorbed, totally absorbed, looking at Jagannath deities. And all of a sudden, the door swung open. You know, the pundits, I don't know if anyone got a dose of the pundits of Jagannath temple. A stick was taken for me, I know that, because they heard me speaking English. My mistake, and they want to chase me out. And I tried to speak my Indian lingo, all broken, trying to. Spoke a little bit of Tamil, they didn't want that. I spoke a little bit of Telugu, my mom's language, just a little bit, one words here and there, but they still didn't like it. But another pundit, I think he felt sorry for me, he said, "She's okay, send her in." They're very strict. So they opened the doors, and they took her, and they locked her up in prison, in the, you know, underground of the temple. They locked her up. And well, she's like sold out, she's probably happy, you know, in Jagannath temple. So anyway, the king, that night, the king had a dream. He said, "Mukundadev, you are nonsense. How are you treating your citizens? What are you doing? One of my very sincere devotees is locked up in the dungeon of Jagannath Puri, right underneath. And what are you doing? I want you to go immediately and release her." So the king got so like astonished. So he went to Jagannath temple and he released Ganga Mata. So from then on, she was called Ganga Mata Goswamini, because a lot of the locals from Jagannath Puri, even the king took initiation from her. He became her disciple, and so did other locals become her disciple as well. So therefore, she was called Ganga Mata Goswamini. I'll stop there if anyone has anything more to add? Any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu. Sorry?
Your question earlier about renunciation.
Yeah.
You already detached, renounced. So, I was thinking. So, renunciation, you said that renunciation, those should run parallel like two tracks. And the more one engages in devotional service, you get a taste for hearing about Krishna. And renunciation is just a natural byproduct of developing Krishna consciousness. And it's, for them, it's not something, anyway, this is my understanding, it's not something they have to really think about. It's just natural.
Yeah.
Because their taste for hearing about Krishna and the attachment to Krishna is so strong,
right,
that, you know, it just happens. And also, they're also showing us how we should be able to do some example.
Thank you for that. Oh, thank you for that. That makes sense. Thank you.
As a Krishna in Prabhupada's full stop
Right. Thank you. The thought comes to mind like Bhaktisiddhanta, he lived in opulence, isn't it? He had this Rolls-Royce car and he dressed really nicely and he traveled. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had so many children. And who else was there? Srila Prabhupada, Acharya. He was, when he was traveling in all these big, cars and all that, he was questioned. And one time he said, are you envious? Because he had wealth. And Prabhupada always mentions that if you have wealth and if you're dovetailing it to serving Krishna, then why not? You always have meditation about how you can use your wealth or 50% of your, earnings or whatever you have to the service of the Lord, and 50% for your maintenance. But that's according to how much you have for your own maintenance. You don't want to deprive yourself and be disturbed in your mind to do service, You have to live according to your means. Any ladies have anything? Got a quiet lot. Okay. Can I ask one question before you go? We're reading the 10th canto, and a question came up. I'm in a little group, Srimad Bhagavatam group, and we've been doing it for 5 years now. And there was a question being asked, and no one had the answer. I gave an answer, but I don't know if that's okay. Krishna gave different names to Maya Devi. She got so many, Durga, Kali, Mahakali, Chandi, so many names. And she even got the name Vaishnavi, and she's got Krishna as her names. And then someone was asking, why did Krishna give her this name, Krishna and Vaishnavi? So, do you know the answer? Does anyone know? Draupadi was called Krishna as well, wasn't she? Right. All right, maybe some of the answers to go. You know something? Okay. Right. Thankless task, yeah. And also I was thinking, in the material world, we're given all these names, all these transcendental names, Krishna, Ram, Mukunda, whatever names Krishna has, we're given, especially in Indian families. So we get reminded of, like Ajamil, named his son Narayan, and by calling his son Narayan and Vishnu Dutas came, at the time of death. So, I guess that's one of the reasons. Anyway, thank you very much for listening with rapt attention. Trantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.